This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Blue Chew. We've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code TMS at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code TMS to receive your first month free. Coming up on TMS, exit hole soup.
Don't vape me, bro.
Gibraltar is giving 110%.
Who hand Luke?
I'm gonna buy an effing taser.
Like Fun Dip? No, not like Fun Dip?
Weird cheese people.
I'll kill your family unless you lick this battery.
Nobody likes Woods McKenzie.
Snakes on a porch.
May the 25th be with you.
A Utah 6 is a California 30.
The Shaggy Podcaster.
Don't lose to the freaking Grizzlies.
Don't let your Nicole... your Nicole... Don't let your niche internet fame turn you into a dick.
Jury duty and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Send only $1 and this seal from the tuck-in flap of any box of Kaiser foil.
It's quilted.
It's quilted.
Why does somebody not know how to flush the toilet after they've had a shit?
As Shakespeare said, shit happens. This is The Morning Stream.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is TMS, The Morning Stream, for Tuesday, May 25th, 2021. Scott Johnson here, Brian Ibbett there. Good morning, Brian Ibbett.
Good morning, Scott Johnson.
Hey, man, it's Tuesday, you know, which means nothing, really. Just Tuesday. It's fine.
Yeah.
Tuesdays are fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
5 days left in the month, so hurry up and, I don't know, what do you got to get done before May ends for you? Do you have anything where you're just like, oh, I got to get done?
Yeah, just a project. But before we even go any further, happy real Star Wars Day. Let's say this is the real Star Wars Day, because... Star Wars A New Hope came out on this day in 1977.
That's right.
This is your Star Wars Day.
Now, when did they call it A New Hope? That was way later, right?
Yeah, it was way later. Well, right. I mean, that was still in the scroll.
A New Hope. Yeah, well, I guess it was more of an Episode 4 thing. Like, when did they call it wasn't it until the prequels? And then we're like, oh, okay. Now that's 4?
Yeah, I think
4?
So. Okay. Right. I think, or was it even like... before Return of the Jedi, that they said, well, okay, so really, they're all Star Wars. We're just going to start calling the first one A New Hope.
Yeah, I think that was about the time. That was an odd it was an odd change, but I'll take it. It's fine. Star Wars is great, and you should celebrate it today, everybody. I was, 78 years old? 78 years old, yeah, that's it.
Years old,
And was in line and was so stoked, and it changed my life. And pretty sure I saw it, I don't know, 5 times in movie theaters. Something like that.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
I think I saw it 5 times that first weekend in movie theaters. Scott, when you're the product of a divorce family, you can con both of your parents into taking you to see Star Wars over and over to make them the cool parent.
That's a great idea. Yeah. Oh, man, that's a great idea. See, I didn't have that option. My parents
took me to see Star Wars again this weekend. Now I've seen it with him 4 times.
Right. I didn't have that. I couldn't go to them and go... Hey, parents who are still in the same room, how about another Star Wars viewing? It didn't work that way. That's a bummer. Yeah, I didn't think of that. It's a benefit to being in a divorced home, one of them, right? Yeah. Are there
one
any?
One of the very few. Yes, exactly.
Not normally something we celebrate, but, you know, we'll take the silver lining.
That's right, exactly.
Well, anyway, we got plenty to do and Justin later and all that stuff, so stick around for that. A few things going on, and I had something happen with some geese at the lake today on my morning walk. We've been walking an hour every morning around the lake now that the weather's nice and it's kind of still cool in the morning. It's like perfect walking weather, so we're out there sort of hard walking it around the lake there, looking at all these houses we'll never afford, and some of these things, dude. Like this one house, it's got to be 6 or 7 million, which in California would be like 40 million. I don't know, but he's just enormous freaking.
Are you saying it's a Utah 6, but a California 12?
Kind of. Although those numbers are merging lately. So I shouldn't say, but anyway, we're walking around there and lots of things are happening. But the thing that happened to me that I need to tell everybody about is more of like a PSA, sort of a warning to everybody. Okay.
Okay.
So this is my think of this as my community service for the day to remind people how to be with their trash. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Your trash days on Tuesdays or no Mondays?
Wednesdays.
Wednesdays.
It's Wednesdays. Yep.
Mine's today. So yesterday is the get ready for the trash day, right?
Yeah.
Well, I thought I had thrown something away that I shouldn't have.
And
Oh, no. I've got to go fish that out of the can because I can't throw that away. I won't get into what the thing was. It's not important. But I go out there to get it. Yeah. And I think, oh, well, it's just down in this corner. So I can just fish around here and get that thing that I need.
Sure. Oh, God.
And I'm reaching down far enough. I'm, you know, as tall as I am, I still have to kind of bend way over. And I'm not looking directly into the can. And we're not gross. We seal our bags when we're done. We take them. You know, it's not like it's a big cesspool garbage can. It's got neatly, you know, packaged garbage bags.
Individual bags separated out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm not too worried about it. It's not like I'm going to put my hand in a bottle of goo or whatever. I just need to find this thing. So I'm digging around in there and I hit something soft and a little cold.
I'm like, okay.
What's this exactly? So I come back out of the can. Oh my gosh, shut up. My Echo thinks I'm talking to her. Alexa, stop. Why does she think? I didn't say anything.
No, anyway. I know. So, you're talking about something cold and wet. Can I help you with that?
What can I order you now from Amazon?
Yes. Would you like me to order the Frosty from Wendy's?
That's so freaking annoying. Well, anyway, so I come out of there and I'm like, oh, what could that even be? And the best I could describe it would be like, if you put your hand, close your eyes or put on a blindfold and put your hand in a pot of cold oatmeal, it's that kind of feeling.
Oh, no. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. God.
So think of that consistency, you know, that sort of thing. So I come out of the can with this hand and I look at it in almost slow motion, it felt like. And I am covered. My hand is now a glove of Weimaraner poop.
Oh, no.
So one of Carter's freaking poo bags that she does to pick up around the yard or whatever wasn't sealed properly. I say Carter. It could have been me. I don't actually know because we both pick it up. But it was had opened just enough that one of them had. And she, this is a big dog. She poops like a man, like more than a man.
Yeah.
It's like the size of
Weimaraner's
water bottle, like that big, you know. It's like furniture. Anyway. I didn't know what to do. I just kind of stood there going, oh my gosh, a giant. My hand is covered in dog poo. Yeah. What do I do? And it was kind of, it was cold, but it's like, you know, not old. And like I said, it was awful. Yeah. So I didn't know what to do. So all I did was go, and like shake it off into the thing.
Kim!
She wasn't here, so I couldn't rely on her. So I ran in there and I washed my hands like 100 times.
Yeah.
Don't know what else to do.
I don't even know. Like, yeah. You got to get the scrubber out. You got to go under the nails.
Yeah. It's really lame. Oh. And I never found the thing that I was looking for. I'll just tell you what it was. I lost a watch and I thought I threw it in the trash.
Oh, God. Like
I found it since, though.
Fitbitty kind of watch?
No, it's this one. I found it since. You know that wooden one that we got?
Yeah.
I found it. It was nowhere near the garbage. None of that stuff had happened. Although I still can't find my Fitbit, so that's still lost. But
oh no! Well, it's time to get an Apple Watch.
The problem is, I had one and I broke it, or cracked it, and then it stopped working. And I went,
or something.
I'm like, do I ever want to spend that kind of money on a watch again? For what I use it for, I don't know, man. Like, it just doesn't. I can't justify it anymore. So unless someone gives me an Apple Watch,
I use mine all the time for bike riding, for directions.
Yeah. See, I don't
use it for that kind of stuff.
No, and I get that it's convenient for that. Like, I get that. Yeah. I mean, but part of me actually likes having less notifications. Like, I kind of like having.
Oh yeah,
I already have enough.
I don't have any sort of Twitter or Discord notifications on here. Nothing's tapping my wrist if I don't want to tap my wrist.
That's good because you don't want it.
So
I just found myself like kind of not missing it. And I went, well, if I don't miss it, then I'm not going to buy it again. So for now, I'm off the wagon. The point is, though, this watch is fine. Fitbit's gone. And my hand was covered in poo. So,
yeah.
So remember that next time you shake my hand or whatever, right? Just remember that I have this right hand.
Yeah, I think all of a sudden, I think we're going with a non-handshaking lifestyle, and you've just confirmed that that's what we need to do.
Yeah, I would not recommend greeting me. I mean, that's one of the nice things about it. I still don't know what the new protocol is. Like, when I see an acquaintance, what am I to do?
So when we were in Vegas, we met the gent. So we gave hugs to James and Sved, obviously, and Midzula, and I did the British side cautious hug with Midzula.
Well,
only because I had a backpack that I was holding because he met us at the airport.
Yeah, but he's vaccinated, isn't he? He's got both the shots.
Yeah, he's vaccinated. Everybody that we saw.
Oh yeah, if you're vaccinated, just hug, man. Who cares?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Shoujo and
you're all in
Danny
this together. Yeah,
and we hugged Shoujo and we did fist. Fist bumps with Shoujo and Danny. No hugs for Shoujo and Danny. We kind of let people initiate what they want, right? Like, you know, we're like, oh, hey, it's good to see you. And then if they put their arms out and say, oh, come on, then we'll hug. But if they're like, out comes the fist, it's like, no problem. We're good with that, too. We will do whatever. We will greet you in whatever way you're comfortable.
Yeah.
Aside from the way dogs greet each other.
Although maybe I can start. I don't know. I've got my hand covered in it now. What's the next step? I start sniffing people's butts. I'm becoming a dog.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. No. It's. I forgot where all that was going. Oh, the new protocol. Yeah. The new protocol for us is we let the person we see kind of dictate.
The way I'll do it is if I don't know you, I'll fist bump you.
Right.
That's
where I was going. It was Jen's new husband put his hand out for a handshake, and I think he was he's the first person I've shaken hands with in the last 15 months, I think.
Oh wow. Yeah. See, some people are used to the shake. It's hard.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess what I'm saying, here's my rule. It's easy. If I know you're vaccinated, hug me all over the place. It's fine.
Sure.
If I know
all
you're
over
not,
the place now. Ooh.
If you're not vaccinated, then and you come to hug me, well, that's kind of on you. Mm-hmm. And if I know that you're not vaccinated, I won't probably initiate anything because I would like you to be safe and vaccinated first. Because I'm safe, but you're not. So yeah, it's easy. It's all you got to do. But with strangers, I ain't hugging y'all. Y'all can. I don't want to do that in a normal year.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No. I mean. I think that's also the protocol is if I don't know you, I ain't touching you.
That's right. And KT Data next
bump,
time I see
hug,
you.
Handshake, none of that stuff.
We should all do bum bumps, like a, you know, a little tink, like a, I don't know. What do you call that when you hip somebody? Give somebody the hip.
Cross-check them?
I guess that is kind of like a cross-check, isn't it?
I've been watching a lot of NHL lately.
Oh, have you been? That's nice.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were a follower.
Avalanche is in the playoffs. The Las Vegas Golden Knights are in the playoffs. If they win, then the Avs and the Golden Knights are probably going to play each other.
You got any money on that deal?
I had some on the Avalanche, but I don't have anything on the Golden Knights tonight. Tomorrow night. I think tomorrow night's their next game.
Well, I'm glad I had no money on the Jazz Grizzlies opener because the Jazz, even though they have the best record in the league, they lost their first game of those playoffs.
Ah, of the playoffs.
At home. Bastards. It's our first chance. We got a real chance this year, and we haven't had it since Michael Jordan was the giant freaking monkey in the room who couldn't get past him. He's too good. Yeah. He's that wasn't a racial thing, by the way, when I called that. I just couldn't think of another animal. Elephant's what I was trying to say. He's the GOAT. You got the GOAT in the way, the greatest of all time. You can't get your ring in the 90s with your best team ever if you got Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen and the rest of that team, some of the greatest players in the history of the planet. So now's our chance. So don't blow it, you guys. Don't lose to the freaking Grizzlies.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Let me tell you really quickly before we get to this first email, because we're talking about betting on games. So we were sitting in the in Mandalay Bay, which is an MGM owned property. It's one of the MGM group of hotels.
Yeah.
And I'm realizing, oh, I need to put a bet on the Avalanche game tonight. I'll just do it from my BetMGM app because I don't want to bet. I don't want to go to the sports book and make a bet there because then I have to go back and collect there. And if I forget, I've come home with tickets before that I've forgotten to collect or didn't have time to collect and had to mail them. So basically $3 of mailing and certification to get $6 back from a football win.
Sure.
But
the big money.
It's exactly. So I'm like, all right, I'll just open up the app. I've, you know, it's legal now in Colorado, so I've got the BetMGM app on my phone.
Sure.
But no, because I'm registered, because my app is registered for gambling in Colorado, even though I am in Las Vegas at an MGM property using the MGM app on the MGM Wi-Fi, I cannot place a BetMGM bet.
That's crazy.
On my Colorado team.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, this is something that Mitsula talked about. Yeah, you can't, you know, you there are certain places you just can't do that. You just have to go up to a betting window to do it.
And he knows the rules better than anybody, right? Like he can tell you whatever. Like if I had any kind of betting questions, I'll go to, that's my guy. I'm going to him. Mm-hmm. You too. You often know this stuff, it seems like, but I'm dumb with it. I don't know. I know I can put quarters in a slot machine. Bling, bling, bling.
There you
bling.
Go. Yeah. I'm trying to see if there are any new slot machines that might entice you enough to want to put a quarter in. Like if they made a World of Warcraft slot machine, you'd probably say, all right, well, let's just see what it does.
Of course I would. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Like I'll I do it with all the nerdy ones. I'll put quarters in everything once. Yeah. I mean, but I will never be that guy with a cup and a cigarette with ashes hanging off the end.
Nobody has a cup anymore though. Cause you can't put quarters in anything because it's all ticket in ticket. It's all Tito. It's ticket in ticket out. T-I-T-O.
So if I win 100 grand, I take it to the window and then they give me my whatever.
If you win 100 grand, you stay where you're at. You flick on the service light and you demand a hand pay, which sounds like a sexual thing you can get in Las Vegas.
A hand pay.
A hand pay.
That's only legal downtown. You have to go to the old strip to get a hand pay.
That's right. We were talking about that. There's probably only one place left in downtown. I think the El Cortez that still has quarter machines where you'll sit there with a cup and choo-choo-choo-choo-choo.
The El Cortez? Is that really a place?
The El Cortez. Yeah, downtown. It's a really cool little hipster hotel with just a few machines. I mean, it's more for like, yeah, we want to stay downtown. We don't care if there's machines in the lobby. But that was a place that Same-Sex Mary was performing quite a bit back in the day.
Oh, I meant to ask, are they able to do, do they have any gigs now? Can they do any of that?
They're just starting to get stuff together. No gigs currently on the docket, but they've been getting together and rehearsing for a new album that they're working on.
Oh, very nice. Very
excited
cool.
about that. And as a matter of fact, and I'll tell you later on in the show about something that Svet is working on that is really cool and would be of interest to many a Frog Pants listener that has an artistic side to them.
Ooh. Well, yes, okay then.
I about that you, at the end of the show.
Yeah, you piqued my interest. All right, let's read these couple of quick emails. Got this one from Christina W., who wrote in and says, hello. This is for you, Brian. My husband listens to your show and has heard you all talk about oxtail soup in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh,
which restaurant? We are in Vegas for a week, and he said he has to try it. Thanks so much, Christina.
Yes.
So where do you go? What's the place?
Oh God, it is the best place. This is downtown at a place called, the hotel called the Californian. And you have to go to the Market Street Cafe in the Californian.
Okay.
And I don't know if basically they simmer it all day long. So I don't know how late you have to go there before they start serving the oxtail soup. I remember going there at like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. Let me see if that's still the case here.
So I remember this place. It wasn't too far from our venue that we did for 2018.
Nope, it's a cross and down from the plaza.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, from
our served daily. I mean, basically, you've actually got the oxtail bone in the soup, but it's been simmering for so long that the meat just falls off of it, and it tastes so good.
Yeah. Don't worry. We all know that tail was right near its exit hole. We know. But don't worry. They clean them real good, right? Like they don't.
Scotch. You ever eat a rump roast?
Well, yeah, the rump roast is the muscle, though, right? It's not like that tail's just right there where okay, exit, exit out, everybody.
Yeah, okay, all right.
I'm just saying, about that next time you got a hot bowl of.
Sure. However, Christina, if you are going to have to take the oxtail soup is great, and if you're still there in Vegas, like another recommendation I talked about yesterday was that Shang Noodle place. Get there and get some of the soup there if you guys are into the amazing Asian soup. It's so good.
I talked to Kim about that place and she's very jealous. She wants to go there. So next time we're out there, we're going.
It's now gonna be I'm going there when we go to Vegas for TMS Vegas 2022. Well, and I think we can safely say there will be.
I don't see any reason why there won't be one in 2020.
Barring any resurgence of the pandemic.
There'd have to be a whole new
of an insurgence.
There'd have to be like a whole new virus, or it'd have to have a mutation where it's so bad that everybody's now exposed again and needs, you know, we have to do fresh science or whatever. Like it would have to be so bad, because I agree with you. No matter what, early 2022.
Yep.
We're doing it.
Yep.
Think like March, April.
Exactly.
Keep your window open, everybody.
Yeah. All right. And roll the windows down.
Yes. And don't blame the fart on the driver. Okay. Check this out. One more here from Jeff. Jeff Sire, a friend up north in the beautiful Canadian wilderness. Jeff Sire wrote in from Ontario and says, Scott and Brian, he would like a word with us. After your discussion about things you guys do that annoy your wives, I thought I would tell my wife, Jennifer, about it. When I told her about Scott clicking the parking brake, knowing that it bugged Kim, I could see Jen did not think it was amusing. So I asked her what she would do if I intentionally bugged her like that. Her reply, he says that you should probably do this in the Tina voice.
in my Tina voice, yeah.
Yeah, so do it.
Well, they have lots of guns down there, so I bet they have tasers too. I'd buy a taser and zap you every time you did it. Bet I'd only have to do it once.
I love that she thinks, because there's lots of guns down here, right, meaning America, like, you know, I can just go get a taser.
Vending machine guns and, you know, street corner.
Is it hard to get a taser? It probably isn't. Probably easy, right?
I bet you, well, it's got to be way easier to get a taser than a gun. I bet I could go to Walmart now and get a gun, a taser.
I'm going to look up Amazon right now and just see, can I buy one online? Can I just buy an effing taser? Hold on. Oh, yeah, you totally can.
Yeah.
Sure. Just
Does Anchor make a taser?
Yeah, does Anchor or Aki? Do they have one? Oh, there's even a gun? The Taser Pulse Self-Defense Tool? Like one of the gun types? With a big yellow front on it so no one thinks you have a real gun? Oh, there's a flashlight that doubles as one? Ooh.
Oh, see, there you go.
Yeah. I want one that looks like a vape pen. So it looks like you're vaping, but really you're a threat.
You're getting ready to tase. Don't get those two things confused. Jeez.
All right. Well, apparently
KT Data says Aki is banned from Amazon right now. Is that really the case?
No. Really? I just bought something from them.
How is that possible?
No, they're here, aren't they? Wait, you know what? They're not on there.
Look at that.
What happened? Oh, no. Aki headphones are still
5 days ago, Amazon internal messages show the FTC is prodding the tech giant to punish fake review schemers. Apparently, Aki and M-Pow. Oh, my gosh. I think I have had a pair of M-Pow headphones.
There's still some listings, though. Aki True Wireless Earbuds are up here still. An Aki USB, Aki Home 12-in-1 Air Fryer Toaster. So there's still some in here, but there must be some stinker going on because I don't see most of their stuff.
Yeah, apparently is a...
Weird. That's crazy. All right.
Fake reviews.
Fake reviews, everybody. Who knew that would be the problem in this
show? Yeah. Wow. Aki.
Yeah. What's going on, Aki? Anyway, He says some fun advice to pass on to Kim, which I will do. Yours in peace and harmony, Jeff Sire. All right, Jeff. Well, we appreciate it.
I'll bet if Kim had a taser handy and you did that thing with the emergency brake, you'd only do it once.
Oh, yeah. There's no do-overs after that. I've never been tased, so I don't really know what it feels like, but I've talked to people who have. And here's the problem. I'm super skittish around electricity type stuff like that. So you can't even hand me like a 9-volt battery and say, put that to your tongue. I can't do it. I freaking can't do it. I cannot force myself to do it. I've done it before when I was a kid, but for whatever reason right now, there's a million things I would rather do. If you said, we're going to kill your family unless you lick this battery. Okay, fine. I'd do it.
You'd do it, but that'd be it.
That'd be about it.
Deathly afraid also of electricity. Up until about last year or 2 years ago when I installed an extra outlet into my bathroom after watching like a YouTube video. It's the new way of learning how to do something these days, folks, is just watch a YouTube video. But now it's like, okay, I feel pretty good about electricity and knowing what to do.
Yeah. And then I'm probably where it is or what it's from is when I peed on that electric fence when I was a kid, which we've talked about on the show once, but it's just like you have that experience and you are forever like, I'm not going near any electrified wires ever again, because that was not nice. Did not enjoy it.
Well,
but I did find it stimulating. Just kidding.
Stimulating.
All right. Let's move past all this and move into the zone of this. Why, it's the news, and it's brought to you by...
Was Three's Company any good? Come and knock on Scott's door real time on Was It Any Good? Where get it wherever you get your podcasts, or at frogpants.com/anygood.
Do you want the short review?
Where the podcasts are hers and hers and his. Was it any good? It was garbage.
It's not great. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, which episode did you watch?
Watched one that was recommended by a listener... And the way these work, you guys, is when you listen, I watch it on the air. So think of it as like almost like a like film sack watch along, kind of, except it's you're going to hear the audio, like you actually hear it. It ducks, it ducks when I talk, like it's like we're in the room listening to what they're saying. Yeah. And it was one where Jack Tripper has to go fly somewhere to help Janet out, and it's a later season. So Chrissy's gone. It's the new Chrissy.
Oh, it's the nurse.
The nurse, right? Oh, that's right. Yep. She was a nurse. And you had to go with Janet to some other, some island where this really fancy schmancy birthday party was going on. Mm-hmm. And then
have to pretend they were married?
They had to pretend they were together. Uh-huh. So that was definitely a thing. And she was trying to get the favor of the guy who was there. And it turns out his sister, she thought him and this lady were really getting it on, but they weren't. It's his sister, they didn't know, right? But the whole premise is that Jack has
Was their last name Lannister?
No. They never forget their debts. That's one thing. he can't fly without freaking out, so he had to take tranquilizers. And so the whole thing is him way
all
over,
tranked up.
All tranked up, saying terrible things and reversing his... saying things that he has to fix later and all that. It's just, it is what it is. It's a thing of its time. And I'll say, John Ritter was a very talented physical comedian.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
But he was born at the wrong time because that stuff's just bad. Oh, yeah. and that episode had no Mr. Furley, and I was annoyed because I was really looking forward to Don Knotts, but it didn't happen.
Oh, right. Yeah. So you didn't even have a Roper. You had a no Roper and no Furley.
No
in that
Furley,
one.
No Roper. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I would have what episode I would have suggested. Because was there ever like a controversial episode of Three's Company?
I don't know. So that's usually what I'll cone in on if I can find it. And this or I'll find out what everyone thinks is the best one of all time or whatever. Yeah. And in this case, it was just this guy just thought it was peak Jack Tripper, and he's right. It kind of is.
I mean, it's full on pratfalls and physical comedy and stuff.
Yeah,
I was all over, not all over, but my roommate of choice was Jenny Lee Harrison.
Mm.
She was the middle. She was between Chrissy Snow and the nurse whose name I can't remember. Jenny Lee Harrison. She was the sister, I think, she was another Snow.
Right. She was Chrissy's sister.
Yeah.
That's why in the episode I kept referring to this other lady.
Cindy Snow, yes.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, yeah. She's lovely.
Yeah.
Ooh, she's very pretty. Ooh, she's very plastic now. All right.
Yeah, not so good these days.
Well, you know, that's just what they do.
That's what happens.
That's what they do. But my bottom line takeaway is Three's Company is a very mixed bag and a thing of its time. And it's kind of fun to go back to it, but it's not the sort of thing I ever want to binge. Mm-hmm. Like, there are better comedies of that era I would binge before I would binge that. But anyway, I don't know what's next, but it's another fan recommended one. So watch for that.
Cool.
Eurovision, the winner, has now agreed. It was Italy, you know, the Italians won the Eurovision.
All right.
I don't watch Eurovision at all.
The Tadpool got together and watched it over Discord and on Saturday. And I, you know, if it were any other weekend, I might have sat there and joined them just because I've never seen it. But yeah.
It's not my jam.
Did not work in Vegas.
I don't know why I don't like it. It's not that I don't like it. I just can't get interested. I don't know. I tried 1 year. Just can't.
Listen, ABBA was a winner early on, or at least a contender.
Well, they deserved it. Yeah.
Yeah.
They deserve that. Well, anyway, this thing happened, and I mostly followed it on Twitter, but I couldn't help but notice a lot of people putting up this clip of this dude in the green room on the Italian team, seemingly leaning over on his table and pounding down a snort of cocaine.
Oh, no, really?
On camera, yeah. And everybody's like, I'm pretty sure that guy did it. So here's what happened.
And it's the Italian guy who ended up winning?
Yeah, the winner, the lead singer of their little bit.
Maneskin.
So as a member of the band that won this year's Eurovision Song Contest has agreed to take a drug test, the event's organizers said Sunday, after a video of the Italian frontman leaning his face toward a table raised suspicions of cocaine use. It definitely looked like that's what he was doing, but you couldn't quite see.
Oh, man, I wish I would have seen this video, because I'm looking for it now.
The link had the video, and then it got removed. Let's see.
Yeah.
Maybe they put it back. No. Oh, maybe they did.
Oh, really? Okay.
Hold on. I'm trying to see. No, that's a news video. They don't actually show it now. Somebody removed the video, and that sucks, because I've seen the video, and it's great. It's great, because this guy's like,
unavailable.
He's going like, yeah, and then he leans over and then comes up again going, yeah.
No, he was just looking at broken glass, looking at it really closely, he says. Exactly.
Anyway, he says he'll take a drug test. He's like, all right, fine. His name is Demonio David. It's a weird, weird name.
Sure.
Lead singer, the glam rock band Maneskin.
I think, yeah.
Was that how it's got an umlaut?
I don't know. It's got the little circle above the A. That's one I don't know. That's not a long or short vowel sound. I don't know what that is.
Is that called not umlaut?
No, it's a
not just accent. Something else.
Ederisi or something like that.
What are those little pickle tasting things that are like little balls? What are those called? You know what I'm talking
pickle
about?
Pickle tasting things.
They take olives? Like pickles. Not olives. No, they're like you put them in soups. Little tiny things. Capers. I'm going to call it a caper. I don't know why. I'm just going to call it that. Anyway, it won international competition on Saturday, offered to take voluntary drug test after arriving home, according to the EBU, the event organizer. Quote, the test was requested by them last night, but could not be immediately organized by the EBU. We are looking at footage carefully and will update further in due course. He is denied taking the drugs. His band, management, and the head of the Italian delegation have said there were no drugs present in the green room where David and his band were sitting during the incident in question. I don't use drugs, David said at a press conference.
Okay.
Yeah. Please, guys, don't say that. Really, no cocaine, he says.
Claire put a link to the YouTube video in here. And it looks like, so they're in there. Like, I was thinking that this was, it's funny because it looks like they're in the audience, but they've just got so many video screens around them.
Right.
But it's the look that the other guy gives while the dude who's allegedly snorting, it's kind of like a little smile, like, gonna do that? Have some of that? Okay.
Oh, he took one and he passed. We've got an update. He passed the test. He doesn't have cocaine in his system.
Right.
All right. Well done.
Turned out to be, what is that powder? The comes with a candy Candy stick. Lickamade. He was snorting Lickamade.
Lickamade. Is that what it's called? Lickamade?
Lickamade?
What am I thinking of? Dippin' Dots. No, not Dippin' Dots. Dippin' Dots? Popeye. Popeye? Not Popeye?
Popeye? Not Popeye. Popeye?
Synthetic pee and ween? Shaved at Maddox. Where are we going with this? All
right. Pixie sticks? Not pixie sticks.
No, not pixie sticks. It's that other...
Fun dip?
Fun dip. Fun dip. Right? Is this a regional?
Yeah.
Fun dip. You got the 4-pack, different flavors. You got that weird candy stick you dip in them. Right?
Yeah. But it was originally called Lickamade. Okay, so I'm not crazy.
Oh,
it was originally
okay.
called Lickamade.
You're old school. That's what that is.
I apparently am. Like, before Wonka bought it, they were Lickamade.
Hold on. Wonka owns this?
It's a Wonka product now, yeah.
Really? Yes. Okay, so like a Willy Wonka type. Oh, yeah, it is Wonka now. Look at that.
Yeah. Where's the trying to see?
Okay. So, you know what's funny? I was just thinking this last night about you kind of have this old soul sort of stuff going on.
I do. Yeah.
I'm watching this TikTok channel, and it's all like retro stuff. And one of them is the introduction of everybody in the Hollywood squares in 1979. So it's like showing each square, and Harvey Korman's going, hey,
right. Waylon Flowers and Madam.
And I'm watching that going, Brian knows all of these people. I really thought that. I almost sent you that video. I wish I would have now.
Oh, yeah. It'd be fun to, it's too bad you didn't. It'd be fun to actually on the air. Like, all right, you know, play a little bit, and then play a little bit, and then pause. It's like, okay, yeah, that's.
It's so you. Everything about that was you, and I couldn't
get it. Yeah, I used to watch that.
All right, moving on here.
We got Lickamade, just put a link in the chat. Yeah. Lickamade, Lick-a-Sticks. The candy stick was called the Lick-a-Sticks. Boy, can't understand why they would have changed the name of any of this shit.
Mm-hmm. I'm shocked. These are terrible names. Oh, look how old that is. Wow.
Yeah.
Lickamade Fun Dip. Dip it, taste it, wow. That almost sounds like one of your weird translations of Japanese candy.
It does, right, exactly.
Artificial flavored cherry, and it had that stick. Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. Plus, that guy looks like one of those, I'm only a bell, one of those.
Right, it does look like a Saturday morning.
What's that called? Jukebox.
Schoolhouse Rock.
Schoolhouse Rock. Jukebox Rock. All right. Here's the story about, this is kind of a bummer. 20 firms, basically 20 companies, are responsible. So that's a small amount of companies worldwide, all right?
Sure.
Worldwide, 20 companies are responsible for 55% of the world's plastic waste.
Wow.
A-holes.
You know, but here's the thing, right? You make your plastic forks, plastic plates, whatever, and then they get rebranded as... Like, it's all from one central factory kind of thing, or is it...
I see what you're saying. Like, who's actually making it? I think that, in this case, ExxonMobil...
Maybe Solo isn't the problem.
Well, it says here that ExxonMobil is the greatest single plastic waste polluter in the world. So they don't manufacture plastic goods. They just happen to use a ton of it and whatever. They contribute 5.9 million tons to the global waste mountain. This is based
on
this.
My favorite ride at Disneyland, by the way, is Global Waste Mountain.
I would ride that, sure. I wouldn't turn
how
down.
Long is the line for Global Waste Mountain?
Yeah, I wouldn't turn that down. That'd be fine. Australia, by the way, leads in the list of countries for generating the most single-use plastic waste on a per capita basis.
Wow.
They are ahead of the United States, South Korea, and Britain, who round out the other three or the top four. Yeah. The largest chemical company in the world, Wood Mackenzie, which is out in the Dow, also Dow Chemical, which is based in the U.S. They create
the least popular Bud Light character.
Yeah, no. Yeah, nobody.
That's our new mascot, Wood Mackenzie.
Yeah, Wood Mackenzie. Nobody really likes Wood Mackenzie.
Nobody likes Wood Mackenzie.
Just stands there at attention. Anyway, so in China Oil, that's the other one. They're lower than like Exxon alone. So these aren't
Dow
even
and
none
Exxon,
of these.
Sure.
So none of these are like plastic manufacturers. They're all just wasters of it. Like, you know, they use it in their processes, whatever their processes are. But, you know, it's not straws and forks. It's, you know, just tons of the stuff.
Sure. It's probably, yeah, and it probably isn't those little small things. It's going to be box inserts that hold things a certain way and things like that that can't be easily recycled. And
well, they should do better is all I'm saying.
They should do better. Agreed.
Try to do better, guys, if you can. That'd be good. All right. Oh, this is great. I don't know how to say this county. Outagamie?
Anyway,
the Outagamie Sheriff's County Sheriff's Office, wherever this is. Let's see. This is in... I don't know where this is. Maybe... I'll look it up
while you...
Yeah, see if you can figure out where that is. Because they knew 911, so it's in the States. I just don't know where. Anyway.
Yeah.
The sheriff's office, Wisconsin. Okay.
Yep.
They're asking.
Outagamie County.
It's a weird cheese people with their names over there. What are you guys doing? they're asking people to avoid calling 911 about recent satellite sightings. So if you see a satellite light in the sky, the sheriff's saying, don't call 911. Don't think it's a UFO. Okay?
Okay.
According to Facebook post on Sunday, the county 911 has been receiving many questions about the long string of lights appearing in the night. Sky lately. The lights are satellites and part of a new internet service called Starlink, which I'm signed up for beta because I want to try this, but yeah. I don't have it yet. Which provides
Outagamie, apparently, is how that's pronounced. Outagamie.
Outagamie?
Outagamie okay. County.
Sounds like a cheese, right?
It does.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love a good fresh cut
Outagamie. Come try our fresh Outagamie cheese.
Mm. Oh.
It's light.
It's 99.3% white. y'all need to go. If you go to Midway, like I was talking about yesterday, there's this, I forgot the name of it. There's a farm that just sells, you can go in there and they have this beautiful shopping space and they just sell fresh cheese from the farm there. I've never had better cheese. It was so good. Oh my gosh, it was so good. Huh. I don't even know.
Tom Norm says that you had it right. I went online and listened to one of those, how do you pronounce?
Oh, were we wrong?
And it said Outagamie. So,
okay.
Screw you, YouTube, yeah. And people telling you how to pronounce things.
They don't know anything. What do they know?
Yeah. So it's just Outagamie. Outagamie.
Outagamie. And this is all part of Elon Musk's SpaceX program satellite thing. They have they've launched 1,500 satellites so far, and has about 1,000 customers testing the services all right now. The most recent launch.
Hey, Amazon, I'd like to buy that Mario Odyssey. Oh, I'm sorry. We're out of gaming.
Yeah, we're out of gaming. Sorry. No gaming.
No gaming.
Brian's really enjoying this out of gaming stuff. You're really into it.
Out of gaming.
Yeah, I like it. Final story today.
Yeah.
A snake bit a dude at a doorbell cam, and they caught it on video, and it's great. Although video's down. What? Hold on. Oh, they pulled it down.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah, I saw it before they did, though. All right. Not that I'd show this to the chat. It's a little harsh.
Really?
He gets bit right in the face. Okay, there is a photo of him.
I've got a link. You want a link?
Yeah, do you have it?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me pull up the actual
story.
It's
on Facebook.
Because you see him. You see the before and after. Oh, my gosh, this poor guy. Okay, where'd you put that? There it is.
I put in our
Discord. Oh, someone's Benjamin, you got a YouTube link as well?
Oh, yeah. Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Can you believe that?
Oh.
Here, Chad, I'm going to show you. He just walks up to this door, going to go in. Yeah. He lives there. Boink. What the frick?
God. Oh, and it's like you can tell the fangs are stuck in his head for a second.
Yeah, like it's almost like his eyelid almost got to his eye. Yeah. He's lucky it didn't get him right in the eye.
All right.
Effing snakes, dude. Oh, no.
Good thing this wasn't Australia. Jeez.
Yeah, no kidding. He wouldn't be around. It says here that on Sunday, Haywood went to visit his friend Rodney Copeland in his home in Lawton, Oklahoma. As Haywood told CNN, the attack happened suddenly. He opened the screen door. Well, we've seen it. We know. Anyway, lunge forward, bit him in the head. It was wrapped around the porch light, I guess. The man could not believe what happened. If the screams of horror were any indication. I didn't play the screams of horror. Did he scream? Yeah, did he make a scream?
I didn't hear the screen. I didn't have audio on for that very reason.
Let me just see. I'm just gonna check. Okay, hold on. Here we go.
Yeah, fully appropriate. I would make whatever sound like I would make no attempt to sound masculine or
nope,
tough or whatever. Nope. Whatever sound,
I would lose it. I would lose it. Well, anyway, I saw a really funny. Okay, another great TikTok account I follow is Door ring videos from people's doors, and it's always just like funny stuff that happens. And it's everything from like yesterday, a FedEx guy was delivering something and he had to kind of squat down to get a picture of where the package was. And he sat right on a jumping cactus and then spent like 10 minutes trying to pull cactus off his butt. So it's stuff like that.
Okay.
But one of them was, I'm trying to remember which one it was. Which one was I going to tell you about? There's so many. I know what it was. Yep. The caption said, this is the guy I hooked up with last night or whatever. And now it's showing like, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning because you see the little timestamp on the video. Uh-huh. Guy's leaving the house. The door, you hear the door go, meh! He walks out on the front porch, stops there for a second and goes, and just lets off the biggest fart you've ever heard in your freaking life. And didn't know he was being filmed.
Think that he's in the clear.
Yeah. He didn't know he was being filmed, which just, I laughed so freaking hard. That's, it was like awesome. This. Where is it? Do I have it here? No, yeah. It was like that.
Well, a little climax at the end there. Like a little,
it really finished strong. Up. Yeah, it finished really strong. Anyway, just,
you,
I guess.
Did you want to go to, Adrian's big birthday party, TikTok teens birthday party out there in California this last weekend?
No, I heard about that. What? No, no.
Like, no. However many, 25,000
really?
TikTokers showed up and.
And whose birthday?
Destroyed a, somebody named Adrian. I don't know who, but, destroyed a lifeguard tower and, I figure you know all those TikTok people. You don't know Adrian on TikTok?
No, I've never heard of him. Adrian Porter.
How do you not know Adrian on TikTok?
It must be this Adrian Porter person. Okay, here's some news. Nope. I was just going to see if I could find it. No, I hadn't heard of this. So they wrecked something? Something got... Something
yeah, they destroyed a... So like the thing was, the plan was to meet at this lifeguard tower over on I think Huntington Beach. Trivial Donut Mom is and so they're all dancing on it. It's too much weight on it. It collapses, destroys the lifeguard tower. Cops come, say, okay, this is too many people, you guys have to break this up. No more of this. And then they turn into a mob and start throwing bricks and rocks and glass bottles and things like that.
Oh my gosh. That's too many people to control. You can't control that.
And apparently doing the worm, like a lot of them just started doing the worm.
So hold on. The worm is a dance?
It's a dance, yeah.
Dance. I got to look at this.
Sure.
Because I don't know what the worm is. Swan Lake canceled. Hold on. Give it a... Oh, I can't find anything that just shows it. Okay. Oh, that dance. Where you got to be 15 and have good bones.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Or none whatsoever.
Because you dive forward and then worm up and then... Yeah, okay.
Right, right.
All right. Well, whatever. I have the same problem with TikTok fame as I did with Vine fame. Or any of it. Twitch fame, any of it.
Sure. Podcasting fame, for that matter.
It's freaking weird, man. Yeah. I like our little zone in the middle. I like our little happy place that's not too extreme.
Right. Right. Yeah. Don't let your weird internet niche fame turn you into a dick.
That's right. And that
words to live by today on TMS.
Unrelated. We're doing the worm and TMS Vegas. Everybody look forward to it.
We're going to throw rocks and bottles at cops.
I'm getting all excited now about that idea. I want to go.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Justin Robert Young will be here. Will we want to talk political things? Maybe. Will we talk about Handmaid's Tale and the Utah Jazz? Probably. But you'll have to stick around to find out. Before all that, though, An Indie in the Middle from Brian Ibbett.
Yeah, this one's a lot shorter than 7 minutes. This is, boy, talk about your brand new music that sounds like it came right out of the grunge era, which is just awesome. This is a band called Superbloom. You might have even heard of a band called Superbloom. They're from New York City, and they have a brand new album that's coming out June 1st. June 1st the album comes out, so early next week.
Nice.
It was mixed by Joe Reinhardt, who's worked with Beach Bunny, Hopalong, and Joyce Manor, and mastered by Will Yip, who's worked with Code Orange, The Menzingers, and Turnstile. Big thanks to Earshot Media for sending this along. Boy, if this song does not make you think of Smashing Pumpkins, then this song almost needs a cease and desist from Smashing Pumpkins. It's so 90s grunge.
Get Billy Corgan on the line, man. He's going to be pissed.
Totally. Here is Pollen from the band Superbloom.
Hey, you guys, let's take a minute and talk about our friends at Blue Chew. Today's episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Look, it's been a hell of a year. Personally, I feel like I've aged 12 years over the last 12 months. And if you're like me, you're feeling your age more than you used to. I guess that's true. especially in the bedroom. It's time to snap out of it. Spring is here, and it's time to get sprung with Blue Chew. That's right, Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form at a fraction of the price. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve better erections to combat all forms of erectile dysfunction. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in discreet packaging. Everyone's favorite packaging. The process is simple. Sign up at bluechew.com. That's EW.com. So like blue, like the color blue, chew like you're chewing it.com. Consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive a prescription within days. The best part, it's all done online. Their licensed medical professionals and providers will work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. Because you don't have to, you chew them. Blue Chew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil, I know I'm saying those wrong, tablets are completely chewable, and they're made right here in the USA. And they prepare and ship them direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. So, if you could benefit from some extra confidence when it comes time to perform, wink, wink, visit BlueChew.com for details and important safety information. We got a deal for you guys. Try Blue Chew for free when you use our code TMS at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code TMS, to receive your very first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for helping us out today.
An avalanche of smooth shaving comfort in new Gillette Foamy. Nobody makes a lather like Foamy.
This is a sky above me.
The Morning Stream. This car smells weird.
Alright, we have returned, everybody. That song again, Brian.
That song again is Pollen by the band Super Bloom.
Nice.
Yes. You know, that song, not the song, not Pollen by Super Bloom, but the song you played at the coming out of the music there. For whatever reason, that song makes me want to dance, and it makes me think of, I think I told the story on TMS here, where Tristan closing up the Walmart, the closers were coming in, they come in and put on their own music, but the first thing they do is go and check all the bathrooms and make sure that there are no customers hiding in the bathrooms or the changing rooms.
Sure.
And
have they ever found any employees, by the way? Has he ever found like a person in one of those rooms?
Oh yeah, totally has. Weird. This recent time, they look under there, they see the shoes that belong to one of the people who come in for closing. So I was like, okay, well, you look under the stall and see the shoes, like, okay, well, they're here for closing. Mm-hmm. And then they shut all the doors, switch the lights over to the cleaning the Walmart for the next day lights, and turn on the music. And all of a sudden, this guy, who they thought was an employee, comes out of the bathroom just dancing, just like...
Really?
Yes.
That's great.
Like, no stealth of, like, I'm going to stick around here and steal stuff. It's like, nope, the music has totally taken over my body, and I'm going to dance.
That's amazing. So, wait, did he just screw up and not know it was closed? Like, or was he actually there to do some dirt? Or what was his thing?
I don't know. Tristan just got called over there to escort him to the parking lot.
Weird.
Yeah.
That's a weird story. I love it, though.
Yeah, fantastic.
All right. Well, speaking of weird stories, let's get some
Speaking
of
weird
on.
Dancing, let's get Jury in here.
Yeah, why not? Why not, indeed, I say. Let's play this here, sound when he arrives.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Welcome to the program, everybody. The one, the only, Justin Robert Young, purveyor of all things political over there at the PX3 podcast. But much, much more than that. Justin, welcome back to the show.
Hey, friends. It's great to be back.
Hi, it's good to have you here. You're a little on the quiet side. Can you crank your deal up just a tiny bit? Just a little. Just a wee bit. I have you maxed, but...
Does he have his lights set up in the right place? Should it be red on the
I'm
right?
I'm already pretty cranked up here. Am I not getting
much better? Much better.
You sound right now. Yeah, right now you sound great.
Much better.
I was just wondering, do you have your lights set up correctly? Should it be blue on the left and red on the right?
Oh,
Well, on my left, it is blue.
Oh, right.
Your left, it's but your, that's only applies to you. What about the thousands and thousands of people watching you?
Quite frankly, I don't give a shit.
Well, you know, if
fair
if,
enough,
if the world. If the world were fair, we'd all know which side the right was on. All right. Hey, we're glad to have you back, of course. And we're going to talk about stuff. Now, the world of politics this week, well, let's just be honest. It's a little boring. It's a lot of stuff like infrastructure. And are we going to have
Gates
a commission?
Still.
Yeah, and Gates Gate or whatever. Actually, is there anything going on with him?
And Lauren Boebert is horrible. And
is there any update with him? Is he going... to jail.
One of his ex-girlfriends is coming forward, right?
For him or against
help
him?
With the investigation.
I'm not aware. The last thing that I saw was his wingman, who is just a special case in Florida. The former Seminole County tax collector Joel Greenberg did formally accept a plea deal. But that was the last that I had heard in the Matt Gaetz saga.
I'm guessing he rolled over, and now they're just sifting through what that means and figuring out what their next thing is. So
The question is exactly what he has.
Yeah,
because he's not exactly the most trustworthy person on the planet, Joel Greenberg.
Sure. Yeah.
So I think it's a wait and see situation. The women that he claims was 17, there were people that were on that trip that say that nobody was under 17. So who knows?
Yeah.
We will. I will say that anybody trying to suss out the truth from this particular bag of snakes is going to have a very interesting time.
You're going to get bit by the snakes. All right. Well, so we're not going to talk about that even. Instead... I found out that you and I are a bit at different ends of a candle on a cultural product known as The Handmaid's Tale, which I have been a gigantic fan since day one and continue to be. And I think this season's really strong. If I had to complain at all, this last episode was a little hammered through for time, it felt like. But the rest of the season, I felt like they're really on, like, firing on all cylinders and kicking butt. And I thought Jerry would be like, oh, I agree. But no, you don't. You're kind of meh on the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's been a mess of a show for a few seasons now. I mean, I guess it doesn't really know what show it wants to be. Mm-hmm. You know, the only thing that's really consistent about it is that it obviously has a message to get across. It has a political message that it wants to get across and a cultural message that it wants to get across. And I think that is effective. You know, if you want the artful metaphors of both a horrifying man and a literal pig being butchered in the same episode, then boy howdy will they be here to deliver that subtlety free metaphor.
Sure.
That being said, I kind of like the show at its best when it is a very clear on the kind of show it wants to be that season. The problem is that it kind of drifts, and so it's like I've liked it at its best when it's a dystopian future show. Mm-hmm. Like I cannot get enough of super weird Gilead rituals. Mm-hmm. I think there was like a season where they were reliably delivering one or two bizarre Gilead rituals per episode, and I was very happy with that. There's like times where it kind of wants to get into House of Cards, sort of like political cloak and dagger territory. And I always like that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. This season seems to be a little bit more into somewhere between guerrilla warfare and The Sopranos. I like that as well. I think that, you know, they always have good actors. Mm-hmm. It's a very well acted show. Mm-hmm. And so if it is, you know, essentially two warring mob families, then I think that they're going to chew up that material.
That's interesting because you're right. It is trying to be all of those things intermittently. Like it's trying to it switches things around and tries to maybe seasonally or maybe even multiple times in a season kind of change the kind of thing that it is. And there's a lot more sort of I wouldn't call it action, but there's a lot more sort of tense adventure happening in this season and less of the psychological, oh my gosh, how did we get here?
Yeah. And all of that. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think that there is a genre of television that is kind of message first these days. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. You know, I think if you are into that message being spelled out with exquisite acting and okay writing, then you're going to be super excited by Falcon and the Winter Soldier. But if you are there kind of for the stories and for the characters, I don't know if having your main character just give a monologue at the end of the season that just sort of explains your message is necessarily going to be the most artful or delicate way that you could have told it.
I think that's why it's working for me is the acting. And I'm not being super critical of the writing so much in my day, in my viewing, I think, because I really like the acting like a lot. Like everybody's compelling. If anything, there isn't enough of some of the familiar faces that we usually get on the evil side of things. We barely seen what's her name? Stravinsky. The two main bad.
That's a problem. Spoiler alert for this season. But the problem with sidelining your two biggest villains is that they can kind of just sort of glower on the sidelines.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Unless they've got a way to figure it out. But then again, that's another problem that I've had with the show is that for a show for which the stakes are all encompassing, right? We are talking about freedom and slavery and misogyny writ in the most draconian levels that you possibly can imagine. They've kind of used sort of writery reasons, tricks to sort of keep the pot boiling.
Yeah.
Which, at times has been a little frustrating when you don't feel like those decisions are necessarily the things that the characters would do, but it is what it is. I liked the first episode, although I was there are times in which you look at some of these characters and you're like, okay, well obviously they're the good guys because they're the ones trying to bring down this oppressive
regime.
You know, yeah, a dictatorial society that oppresses a one half of its population by gender reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it's like, boy, she definitely just recruited somebody to do something really awful at the end.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I get it.
Yeah.
I guess I get it. Yeah. But that's why it kind of reminded me more of like a mob story where it's like, no, this is about, I mean, I guess there's a fine line between guerrilla warfare and mob story, but it was like, okay, I kind of get it in the way that like Tony Soprano would have his little nephew do a awful thing to prove that they're all in this together.
Mm. Yeah, there is a little bit of that. But there's also just like, you've got to do the general theme of you got to do a really hard thing during these hard times, and sometimes those hard things get other people killed or a bit getting, you know, you got to make the least damaging choice possible, but the damage is still there. There's the collateral damage.
Yeah, but the whole episode was about her shattered innocence.
Yeah, right? That's right. Yeah,
the whole episode, the entire plot moves forward on the idea that, oh my God, you shouldn't have had to grow up this fast. So the ending being, oh, well, F it. Let's just go all the way.
So all the episodes of the current season have finally come out?
No, he's saying the ending of that first episode of this.
Just the ending of that first episode. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he's a little bit behind compared to where I'm at. I'm caught up.
We just started it because you've been watching Ozark. We got to the end of season 3 on Ozark and then decided to take a wee bit of a break. Talk about a show that just can't figure out exactly how to keep the pot boiling. Holy smokes.
Well, okay. Ozark, you think, really?
Yeah. This just is like sometimes, like, all right, so what really matters here? Like, sometimes it's the oppressive overwatch of the cartel. Sometimes it's how fast they're going to be able to launder the money. Uh-huh. Sometimes it's the unpredictability of their partners. And, like,
Right.
They just kind of, you rely on them to tell you what you care about this episode, because then they'll just do things like talk to FBI agents in public, which would seemingly go against the overarching element of the cartel, or just not mention the money for a couple episodes. And you're like, wait a minute, isn't that like what everybody was like pulling their fingernails out before? Was that like $5 wasn't laundered on time? That's another one where I'm having a hard time figuring out exactly which shoulder I'm supposed to be looking over. And it's really made me appreciate shows like Breaking Bad and The Americans, which were exceptional at that. Like, you never really felt like, oh, okay, I know where the danger's coming from.
Right.
I know where this is, you know, going to affect our characters.
Well, see, and I was going to ask you this question because it feels like we're kind of circling around to it. Are there any examples, like Breaking Bad pulled it off? I think Better Call Saul seems to be pulling it off. We'll see how they do in their final season. But so many of these shows peter out in their final act, and it's usually like a third season or something, sometimes beyond. But they just seem to be more and more starting really strong and petering out. The Killing reminded me of this. I love that first season of The Killing, and then it got weird.
Well, suspense television is hard to do.
Yeah.
And it was really kind of pioneered by shows like The Shield or, Breaking Bad kind of took it to a new level. The Americans, I think, was a very, very worthy entry into that.
Yeah.
But it's hard. It's hard to keep your character in a corner and then have them escape by the skin of their teeth and then have them get back into another corner. And that's the problem that Ozark kind of fell into. Was that their solution for getting out of the corner became the exact same thing every time, where it was just like, oh, what if we just buy the thing? Oh, okay. So that again, we're just going to, oh, no, we have a tax problem. I'm inventing a few other episodes. Buy the federal government. I don't know. It's that's a show that's also extraordinarily well acted.
Yeah.
The writing's kind of.
Well, the irony is the last two things that Damon Lindelof did had amazing endings. I thought, anyway. I know you're a little more mixed on how Watchmen went, but I think that thing was.
I also wasn't a gigantic fan of how it middled or began.
Yeah, you weren't a fan of most of it. You didn't love that, but I loved it. And I loved what's the other one? Not The Regrettables. What's it called?
The Leftovers?
Leftovers.
No. That's my nickname for Watchmen.
The Regrettables.
I loved that show. I loved it. And I thought it ended really strong. I guess it's ironic because he used to be ripped on for how horribly he would end
things. How Lost ended.
Yeah, and Lost and other stuff. And it's funny that, you know, he had, you know, pretty good run here for the last two. And everyone else seems to be ending them poorly. Like, as much as I really enjoyed premise-wise, and I still watched every second of it, but I like...
Why was that a good ending? I'm not going to let this stand. No,
which
it was
movie?
A bad ending.
Which movie? Or which thing? Which show?
Watchmen.
I like how it ended. It was great.
What happened? What was the point?
The point was, you know, you got the Watchmen and the stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It ended fine. And he's not doing any more, you know, seasons. And it left you wanting more. I think that's good.
That was my favorite part of the ending, was them saying that they weren't going to bastardize the Watchmen anymore.
See, I think that's what you never got past, was just them taking your beloved origin.
No, it was just
stuff.
A bad adaptation. It's fine if you want it. Look, also, I think that Lovecraft Country came right after it, and it did genre television with very similar messages, including the Tulsa riots, better than Watchmen did.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that was like Lovecraft Country, to me, was a great example of a message show where the themes fit the genre elements that they were trying to weave into it, where, you know, I think Watchmen was a show where they had this thing, this like comic book thing that has like very elemental and rich threads, and these characters are important because they're good, right? And then you just kind of totally go away from everything that sort of makes that comic book fine, which is great, right? Whatever, you're adapting it, you can do what you want. But I do think it kind of did what the last few seasons of Game of Thrones did, where it's like these characters that we follow, that we like, are good for a reason. They make decisions for a reason. That's why we are invested in it. And so when they start making decisions that don't feel good, or these things that we are watching the show because we want to see resolved, we want to see push forward, are just kind of thrown aside, then you can't help but think, well, then what am I doing here? Why am I watching this? If you wanted to tell a story about a future world in Tulsa, you could do that. And you could write all these characters and they could act as strangely as they want without the idea of the Watchmen. I just didn't think that the show particularly had a lot of understanding of what made Watchmen great and how to weave that into what they wanted to do. Whereas Lovecraft Country was a show where it's like, you want to tell a series of horror stories about racism. Boy, they found awesome ways to highlight that. And sometimes the monsters were the monsters that were literally monsters. And sometimes they were, you know, an ominous cop car, you know, trailing a town with sundown laws. And it's like, that's horror. That's playing into the genre and getting where you need to go, at least in my opinion.
I agree. I love that. I thought that was a really cool series. Brian, did you ever end up watching that?
I never saw Lovecraft Country, but it's on our list.
You should definitely watch it. It's cool. I hope there's more of that. I don't know if they've said, but
just wrapping up season two of For All Mankind, which I think is a great show.
Oh, I need to see. And I've only seen like episode one and then just lost track of time. I liked what I saw,
I
was stoked.
I've watched anything on Apple TV except for Ted Lasso.
Well, if you're going to watch one thing on Apple TV, that is the thing to watch. I'd say Mythic Quest is another really good.
I've heard good things about that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's don't think of it as, and I know this wouldn't scare you away from it, but it's not really a video game show. It is an office.
An office comedy about that
just happens to take place in a video game.
But I like that they root it in, you know, they work with. Who is it? Ubisoft.
Yeah.
They work with those guys on behind the scenes stuff to make sure they get a lot of that talk right and everything, which I think is just kind of cool to know. But I haven't seen that either. So I should probably watch that. But,
sure. Hey, just like Scranton had to learn about how to sell paper.
Yeah. That's true.
For the realism on that show.
That's true. I have a feeling that, if it keeps going as good as it's going, the show we may be all talking about in a couple of years as being super strong and consistent and hopefully ending well is that, Mayor of Newtown.
Easttown,
is it?
I mean, that's not even done with its first season.
I know, but it's so good so far.
Yeah, we haven't watched any of it yet because we're waiting
We haven't watched any of it. I have heard good buzz. It's got enough buzz that we'll probably wind up watching it. But you're gonna say that it's going to be one of those shows when
well,
it hasn't
even
wrapped up its first season?
See if it sticks the landing first.
The end of their first season.
No, I realize it's, you know, I don't have the evidence of multiple seasons yet, but I'm saying so far that it feels like one of those, and it could fall off the rails, I suppose, but it just feels like I don't know, it feels like in that category of Breaking Bad, Fargo, Saul, some of those, like where it's just you can count on it. It has that feeling. I could be wrong though. By the end maybe it'll all fart apart. But
where are you at on the last season of Fargo?
I really like all of Fargo, so I'm a horrible person to ask if you want some hard criticism.
No, I liked it. I'm a huge fan of every season. I felt like the last season was the first one where you could kind of start to see the strings a little bit that like.
Oh yeah, they connect each of the seasons. You mean the?
No. Oh. Just when Fargo the show came out, you're like, how can you take this beautiful, amazing movie, this revered movie that put the Coen brothers of all people on the map and adapted to television, and then they did it, and you're like, what the hell? That's insane. That's amazing. And they did it again, and you're like, that's crazy. How do they do it? And they did it again, and you're like, what? These guys are the best. And then by the fourth season, you're like, oh, they have a crazy person. They have a hero. They have, like, it's like all these stories. It's like, oh, You're the super mean one this season, and you're the conflicted hero, and you're the pure of heart. Oh, okay.
I just like that they made a mob movie. and sure. It reminded me of Miller's Crossing, another Coen Brothers film that I revere. Yeah. And I really don't have I don't have much to say in the negative about it. It did things I didn't expect. The stuff with Raylan Givens came out of nowhere for me in terms of how it ended.
Well, that was literally just written for you.
Oh, like, it totally was.
It might have just had XOXO Scott Johnson.
Yeah,
at the bottom.
It kind of was. It kind of was. I admit that.
You're playing the super high functioning Mormon detective from Utah.
Eating carrots.
Might as well call him GURP or whatever.
Like, right. Might as well call him Mad Max. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, well, my name is Mad Max Fury Road Johnson. I'm here to solve your case. And he drinks the whole thing of milk and then eats Taco Bell in his car.
Yep. You're not wrong. It did feel like that was kind of made for me, but I loved all of it. And I'm only worried that there may not be, I don't know if there's a fifth. Is there a fifth? They haven't said. I don't know what Noah Hawley's doing, but he can't, you know.
I mean, everything's in the crazy town blender because of COVID. So it's like, sure. You know, there was a bunch of stuff like that was shot and some stuff that wasn't. So we're just going to get a weird gap year of stuff. And I think we're probably going to get a lot of Rush stuff just to fill the gap.
Oh, I don't love that idea, but I guess that is how it's going to probably go. Well, anyway, I like it when sometimes politics are boring and we can talk about things in the, you know, the entertainment sphere.
I'm always there. I am a jack of all trades.
Speaking of which,
reminds me that I have not seen the new season of Master of None, but I haven't.
Is that a thing?
That's going to be so weird to not have Aziz Ansari be the central.
Yeah, apparently he cameos in it a couple times.
That's what I hear, yeah.
Oh, is that true? He's not the main dude?
No.
Oh.
No, this is a story about his friend Lena Waithe, who is played by Lena Waithe, and her wife, but it's apparently kind of an homage to 70s like marriage dramas by Ingmar Bergman, and but about a black queer couple. And Aziz Ansari is in it nominally, I guess.
Interesting.
Apparently they said that they couldn't do another season of Aziz just liking tacos. And so
I'm trying to remember. They did that also with another show we watched recently. I can't remember the name of it. Julia Roberts was the central focus of the first season. It had to do with a memory wiping.
Oh, wasn't that a podcast adaptation?
I think it was. Yes, it was. It was a podcast that adapted into a TV series. Julia Roberts was the first season. And then I think Janelle Monáe took over for the second season. And both seasons I thought were really, really good. But it was a weird, it was the same kind of thing. Although Julia Roberts didn't even cameo in the second season. She's like, yeah, I'm done. That's all the.
Yeah. Nor do I think Julia Roberts' dating history was scandalously in the remaining seasons, which. Yes. You know, as happened to Aziz.
Homecoming. That's right. It was Homecoming. Yeah, that was good.
Well, it's been 5 years since they last did this, right? This show. Yeah.
Which one? Homecoming?
No, sorry. Master of None.
Master of None. Yeah. Although, cheers to them for pulling one of the greatest heists of television history and just setting the first half of their second season in Italy for literally no reason, because the streaming budgets were big enough, and it's just saying, now we're just going to do literally the same plots we would have done in New York, but we're going to go to Italy. Yeah. I think Marvelous Mrs. Maisel did the exact same.
Yes,
thing.
Right. But,
we're just going to go to France. Pretty much no reason. The characters really aren't going to advance. And then at some point, all the characters are just going to say, we should go back to New York. And they're just going to be back in New York.
Yeah. You know, I think that they do a lot of that because it's like, how can I work in a vacation to someplace I want to go? What do you, George Clooney, hey, want to go to Paris for Ocean's 12? What do you say? Let's do it.
Yeah. Well, that's the Adam Sandler model, right?
Yes.
Friends and shoots the movie in the place they would otherwise.
In the place they want to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of making my next film in a water park.
I love that. That's always
that is,
the voice.
I love this impression. Yeah. This impression of
pretty good.
Adam Sandler.
Oh, yeah. Right.
It's pretty good. All right. Speaking of pretty good. It's not okay. It's pretty good.
Jerry's right. It's horrible.
I love it because it sounds like he's a very a very curious detective. Like he's on the case. Like he would be a detective in a children's movie or something.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of,
but Adam Sandler would have all his friends for that too.
Yeah, of course he would.
Yeah.
Justin, you're of course a busy man. You got a lot going on this week. Why don't you tell people about some of it and where they can get it?
Sure. So Politics, Politics, Politics is the podcast, and we are going to have the great Tom Merritt on tomorrow's episode talking all about ransomware and whether or not the government should step in and do more to kind of protect not only the infrastructure like the Colonial Pipeline, which fell victim to it and led to gas shortages across the East Coast, but also in some other sectors where ransomware has been a real problem for many years now, and it is only getting worse going forward. So you can go ahead and check that out. And then also on Friday's edition of the show, we had a new segment wherein I broke down a old attack ad. Mm. So the 1988 ad Weekend Passes, otherwise known as Willie Horton, which was purported to not only sink Michael Dukakis's candidacy, but also racialized presidential politics. We investigate both of those claims, and I think find them both a little bit wanting, but also get a lot of a backstory and information, including the fact that that ad was not done by the Bush campaign. It was done by a political action committee before we even had the name Political Action Committee.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Well, you're going to learn a lot.
I'm going to learn a lot.
Download the Politics, Politics, Politics.
Go get it, everybody. Brian. Justin Robert Young, everyone. Take it easy. Play, have fun.
Play the clip.
Oh, the clip. Shit. Hold on. Here it is.
The jury will now retire.
All right. Bye now. Thank you for the reminder.
No problem.
Okay, we have a mashup to play, a bonus mashup. This is a TMS Origins mashup about Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch.
Finally.
Yeah, yes. Finally we know where this came from. So let's listen together as Jamie helps us understand. Well, I just got some interesting information. This just in about the term hobo. Boop, boop, boop. The word hobo comes from after the Civil War when soldiers were homeward bound. It was a shortening of homeward bound. They are different because they were going somewhere. So the difference is this is a temporary state. You've got nothing but the thing on your back and the hat on your head and the shoes to move you forward, but you are heading somewhere. The theory is...
But that got more and more esoteric. Right.
Oh, sure.
That's what that song Big Rock Candy Mountain is about. You know, at some point it stopped becoming like, oh, I'm traveling to go get back to Chantilly, Virginia. And instead it was like,
I'm going to this fictional place of drunken debauchery. And
yeah, there was a Darius Rucker version for a Burger King commercial. I think.
What?
It was not exactly Big Rock Candy Mountain, if I remember correctly. Right. It was like the Burger King equivalent, like the Whopper Candy Mountain. Or something.
Oh, we're
like
playing
that.
This.
When my belly starts around. And I'm jonesing for a treat. I close my eyes for a big surprise. The Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch.
What the hell, dude?
Holy moly. You needed a crowbar to fit that many words in that.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch thing doesn't fit, but.
Squeeze them all in.
Hold on. It's not long. I want to hear the rest of this.
Folks, don't front you because you got the juice. There's a train of ladies coming with a nice caboose. Never get in trouble, never need an excuse. That's the Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch.
This is maybe one of the greatest moments in the history of the show. I never saw this. I didn't know this existed. And that is sexist as hell.
I'm shocked that that song has not like been the opening of the morning.
Of a TMS.
I am too. No, I didn't know it existed until just now.
And also, I want everybody who writes Brian requesting a cover to say whatever they really want or Darius Rucker. Bacon Cheddar.
Either play me the Avenged Sevenfold cover of Kashmir or the Darius Rucker cover of Big Rock Candy Mountain.
I would love that. And then it became the meme. It's just, that's like, or we could always just play the Bacon Crisp and the ranch.
Yeah. That's just amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. All right. So the whole thing's Justin's fault. I would have kept him around for that if I'd have known that. It was all his fault.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, wow.
I didn't remember that either. I thought it came up spontaneously with the two of us, but no.
No memory of it. So that was great. Wow. Geez, Jamie, thank you for that. It's like you're an archivist. An archivist.
That's right. Archivist.
Archivist. All right. Well done. Brian, tell me all about this poster thing you were
Yeah, this is really cool. So if you are even slightly artistic, or better yet, you're very artistic, then there's a cool thing going on right now. So every year, this year happened to be virtual, but 2022, it's supposed to be back in person, is the Damn Short Film Art Festival put on by the Boulder City, right by Hoover Dam in Las Vegas or in Nevada. And our friend Svetlana from Same Sex Mary is involved in this and helping promote it, help market it. And so every year she puts together a contest for the poster that goes along with the historic Boulder Theater in Boulder City, Nevada. And there's just some amazing artwork that goes along with it, some amazing posters that go along with this. It's a chance to not only have your poster get picked and be the poster of the official poster of the, what is it? The 18th annual? No, 20th annual.
20th annual, it says here. Or 17th annual. Sorry, 17. 17? It's, well, it says at the top of the banner, but I don't know if that's...
Oh, right. 16th, right, because 16th was 2020. Yeah. So the 17th annual Boulder Dam Short, just the Dam Short Film Festival. but you also get cash, cold hard cash, and two VIP passes, swag, two tickets to any 2022 DSFF program, and everybody gets something for their time. So check it out. The website is, if you go to Dam Short Film, and that's D-A-M because of the Hoover Dam, damshortfilm.org, then you should be able to get to it. Let's see if you can get to it right from that, or if you have to go to 2022 poster contest. I'll put a link in the show notes here for people.
Yeah, I'm looking right now. It looks like if you go just to the page, the home page.
Just to the home page, can you find the...
Oh, it's right away. You can just...
Is it? Okay, yeah. Good. So if you go right to damshortfilm.org...
Yeah, it's all over the place on this thing.
There you go.
Yep.
Ah, yeah, there you go. Yep. So cool. Design the 2022 Damn Short Film Festival poster. And yeah, lots of great stuff. Deadline is June 1st. So you've got about a week, but you know, there's some really creative people in the TMS audience, and I think it'll be a really good project.
Yeah, go check it out. And that's very cool that they're doing that. They're super involved in all sort of community stuff. And don't forget, James is like a freaking... He's still like a alderman or something. What's his deal?
He is a city councilman.
City councilman, yeah.
Yeah.
Alderman. What am I even saying?
He's a comptroller.
Keeping track of...
I think he told us he's currently mayor pro tem as they're between...
Oh, really?
Is that right? No, maybe not.
He's wielding the big stick right now, is he? Mm.
Maybe not. Oh, boy, he's going to hate me for forgetting this role wrong. But I'm trying to look it up and see if I can find it. But I'll
picture those two you sent me when you were at dinner with them. It's the most James ass picture I've ever seen.
Oh my God. That place had their kind of style. Bobby Yates is currently the Boulder City mayor pro tem.
Okay.
But here,
you guys can see him. I'll put him up.
Yeah, that place was so their vibe. Like, cool purple velvet couches and weird lights that hang down from the ceiling, and
there's
like that.
Drapes and couch that match. Like,
yeah,
it's the most.
The drapes match the couch.
Yeah, I mean, look at him. He looks like any second now. Like those, even those frames they're wearing, they look like they bought them at a freaking hipster shop. I love it.
And Svet's hair right now is this cool blue. It looks amazing. Looks really, really cool.
Yeah, and, they're awesome. We love those
they
guys.
They are awesome.
All right.
They're the best people.
They
the
truly are.
People.
They truly are. All right. Yes. That's it. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. If you are feeling up to it, buy gum. There's a great time for you to join our Patreon because the month is about over. You got 5 days left or so. So get in there, patreon.com/TMS. And if you're trying to contact us, send us your emails, themorningstream@gmail.com. That and all of this can be found in one simple place. at frogpants.com/TMS. Okay. Well, I think we're done.
Do you? I don't know. I feel like I could do one more thing. One more thing?
No, we're going to just leave. Oh, well, you know okay. what? One more thing, but it has to be, I'm in the mood for music. I can't just have talk. So is there a song maybe?
Oh, well, I have something. What? This might work, Scott.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Andreas from Denmark wrote in and said, "Hi, Brian and Scott," in parentheses. Well, geez. "Long-term listener, first-time birthday song wisher. As I'm turning the not too insignificant age of 38, I would love to get a request in for the 25th of May or thereabouts. I'm a big fan of 90s rock. I would love to request a song, a cover of or by Garbage. The more obscure and the more rocky, the better."
Oh.
Thanks, and I would like Two Oregon Fish Sandwich. So he writes Two Oregon Fish Sandwich. And the way I think it is, I think he's saying that if you think Two Oregon Fish Sandwich and listen to the guy saying too early to get a fish sandwich, you might start hearing Two Oregon Fish Sandwich.
All right, let's try and hear what we hear. So okay. Think Oregon. Here we go.
Hey, Two Oregon Fish Sandwich.
Oh my gosh.
Here it is. Oh, Two man. Oregon Fish Sandwich.
You've ruined it for us, man.
I love it.
Man, that's cool.
All right, excellent. Thank you, Andreas.
Yeah.
All right, how about an obscure cover by Garbage? They contributed back in 2003 to a tribute to the Ramones called We're a Happy Family. Mm-hmm. And for that, they did a cover of the Ramones song, I Just Want to Have Something to Do. This rocks, and you're going to love it. Here is Garbage covering the Ramones, I Just Want to Have Something to Do.
Show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I'm doomfisting.